Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and we'll be dealing with federal and civil court procedures this evening. Our special guest, once again, is Brother Kamintiyu Bay, a lecturer and case law expert. And we're going to bring some new information to the table, and I need you all to hold tight. I'm going to open up the lines and see what we got in a second. But first of all, let me say, for those of you who are on your social sites, if you're on Facebook or if you're on LinkedIn or Twitter or any of your social sites, go ahead and send me to Tahaka Amana L. Bay a friend request, and that way we can have communication between one another, and you can have access to my wall, and we'll have access to each other to exchange important information. We're offering our free articles as usual, the 14th Amendment Exposed, the Commerce Game, and How to Play. And the way you get that is by contacting me at tahaka53@hotmail.com, and we'll rush that to you. Our library, we've just added some new information in the library this evening. So those of you who have my archives, we have added some new information, some very, very important information under the link of Stop Foreclosure Now. So make sure you check that last piece I put there, and also over in Administrative Procedure Docs, we have put some books there for you that is very, very important for you to understand the information that's there as well. The way you access my archives is by going to www.tahakaarchives.com. That's www.tahakaarchives.com, T-A-R-H-A-K-A. ARCHIVES.com, and you'll be able to go take it from there. I'm going to also say that if you are, I've had several groups on Facebook, so send a friend request to join these groups, because that is where I'm posting the bulk of the information, and make sure you catch our broadcast, my post on Back in Time, and so that your children will be able to learn about our historical figures from our past. And that is very, very informative information. So make sure you go there. For those of you who have my archives, I encourage you to contact me for support and guidance. The way you do that is calling me by before 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Eastern Standard Time, at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be able to assist you. Okay? I'm going to open up the lines now. Area code 347. Could you tell us who you are?
Ms. Lawnmower, coming to you is on the line, family.
All right, fantastic. We have our guests have arrived. Brother, coming to you, Bay. And we certainly appreciate you being here, brother.
And, man, she's the one that...
Okay, well, what's been going on here lately, man? What's the good news?
Well, you know, Mo, you know, I gotta say thanks again, Brother Tahaka, because a lot of brothers and sisters are calling me because of the Blog Talk Radio show, and we've been, like, dialoguing for maybe about a half an hour, 40 minutes, sometime an hour, it all depends.
Okay.
I'm not too busy, but... You know, like one particular brother called me, and he was asking questions concerning his license because he got hit with no insurance when he was stopped by Rome.
Okay.
Well, that's what we call popo or police up here in New York. We call them Rome. All right. The prophet called him Rome also, but it was a situation where you know, he had to comprehend the contract. Right, because he didn't know that the license that he received from the state is a contract, all right? And there's other elements that goes along with the contract. So he had to understand it because he wanted to implicate some things that you have done successfully. And that says, well, brother, you have to be in the right status like Brother Tahaka, all right? Brother Tahaka is not using those things, all right? But if you're using Rome's contract, all right, and you don't have one particular item to the contract, they're going to say you breached the contract, so that's why they're coming after you. So I told them to go to vehicle traffic law, go to DMV, Department of Motor Vehicle, and get a copy of the vehicle traffic law. And he surprised me. He told me he's giving them things out for free in North Carolina. So I said, well, damn, I said, up here in New York, they charge you $2.50. So I said, brother, you're going to have to give me one of them books and mail it to me, you know what I'm saying, so that way I can read the statutes and see what's going on. But he understood now what I'm saying, where I'm coming from. But, you know, that's, you know, like I said, he's just one out of the many that have been calling me, Brother Tahaka.
Okay. All right. Well, we just, that was one of the issues that I covered down at the summit that was broadcast Saturday on NBTV One. They ran the entire summit, and that's one other thing that I want to encourage the brothers and sisters to go and get you a subscription there. That way you can solve a lot of problems. You have some very, very powerful access to some things by going there. That's www.nbtv1.com, and we're going to be running the plug again. But when you go there and you pay the little $7.99 for your subscription, you can blog there, you can chat there, you can post your videos there, your audio there, you can also communicate with anybody anywhere in the world visually. No long distance charges, no phone charges, none of that, and all that's taken care of right there. And for those of you who have listened to my previous broadcast, the brother came on and gave us a complete breakdown on what was going on there. Now, as far as the driver's license is concerned, all you have to do is take that driver's license and turn it over on the bank, and it clearly tells you that that's the property of the state. So when that man stops you in an attempt to contract with you, he's asking you for property that belongs to somebody else. Now, in my opinion, that's the last thing that you should ever give them is a driver's license. So the way I do that, without putting any mortgage documents into the system, I simply get a world citizen passport. I learn about the Declaration of Human Rights, and I also get an affidavit, create an affidavit of identity that's notarized and stamped and all of this. And this is what I give him. Okay, so which clearly shows that I'm not under his control, plus I understand that I'm not driving, so I can make some requests to him. The type of vehicle that constitutes driving. I'm not operating that, and so I'm asking him to provide me with the name and address of the company that's paying me to drive. You see, the only person that needs a driver's license is someone who's driving commercially. If you're a taxi cab driver, if you are a city bus driver, or a school bus driver, or if you drive a money truck or a taxi cab or anything like that, then you need a driver's license. But if you have it in your car, you're going to go to your parents' house or someone, going to the grocery store or something like that, you don't need a driver's license. And that's the last thing that you ever want to give one. Okay? According to the United States Supreme Court, you don't, your driver's license is not mandatory for driver's license, not mandatory for insurance, and not mandatory for a license plate either. So in the early days, I created my own license plate, created my own identification, but the most important thing was the knowledge to enforce it. That precedes any type of documentation. You have to have the knowledge. So when you run into the man out there on the street, you know, you'll be able to tell him the law. You can provide him with proof backing up your claim that can't be denied. So that's how you do that, you know.
And you're right, brother Doctor, because as I was telling the brother, all right, he's out of North Carolina, and I told the brother, listen, get the vehicle traffic law, because you got to read the statute. And I was saying, look at the word surrender, because you want to surrender that license then. Matter of fact, Moore, he got the document. He got the book. He went to DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicle, you know, in his location. And the most interesting thing about his correspondence to them was that when he went in there to surrender his license, the clerk at the desk was kind of giving him a hard time. And she asked to come and get her supervisor. So the supervisor came to the desk and started asking him, why do you want to surrender your license? You know what I'm saying? And so he said, well, he wants to turn it in. And she kept asking him about, you know, reasons why. Like it was almost like it was a sin to surrender your license. You know what I'm saying? Because he needed the application, you know, to surrender it. So now the interesting thing, like, you can't surrender your license. You can do that. So now the interesting thing about Brother Tahaka was that he was given questions about the surrendering of his license, but on top of it, when it was finally clear to her what he wanted to do, because he said something about him, you know, knowing law, and he realized he doesn't need it. It was a situation where he was stating that she stated to him as a response was, well, you have to go to surrender in Raleigh. So he's not in Raleigh. He's in another part of the state. But he's not in Raleigh. You know, but Raleigh was like sort of like the main central office to be able to surrender your life. This is what he was bringing to my attention. Which I thought was very interesting, Brother Tahaka.
Trying to discourage him, to keep him enslaved and as a potential person to provide revenue, because it's all of that out there is in commerce. As long as you have a driver's license, you are living under the threat of losing money in commerce. You see, when you If everybody took all the tags off the car, turned in all the driver's license, except the people who make a living driving, then that'll cut their head off. Because what they're doing is they're acting in the capacity of highwaymen. They're coming up behind you. They're cutting on their lights, declaring an emergency. Now, according to the law, if you declare an emergency, there must be an injured party. Okay, but we don't know the law, so therefore it's costing us not to have this knowledge. We're being destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so we get out there on that pavement, the last thing you ever want to give a policeman is a slip where somebody have given you permission to do something that you already had a right to do in the first place.
You know, it's interesting, Brother Tahaka. In my class on Tuesdays, you know, we have class every Tuesday between 6:30 and 9:30 over the National Black Theater. And,
okay,
of course, we had a couple of the students in the class to get the Q-sub number on the license. You know what I'm saying? Because I know you heard me before mention the Q-sub number. All right?
Uh-huh.
Because all these are nothing but structured finance instruments that we're getting, you know, regardless of the birth certificate, the driving license, the marriage license, the death certificate. All these instruments is nothing but financial infrastructures that has been created for them to make money. So we got the Q-sub number on one of the brothers in the class. Well, two people in the class get the Q-sub number on their license.
Okay.
And it's interesting because it shows you the name of the instrument, driver's license. Of course, it got the number of the license that was issued to you by the state under a number. And the Q-sub number, then it has the class, the symbol, it's currently being traded through Fidelity Intermediate Municipality. That's exactly where the license is being traded. The income fund, all right? And the fund that the license is in, it's a fund that's generating $4.21 billion, Brother Tahaka.
Wow.
That's what you, yes. So my whole thing, what I'm working on right now, Noble, which, again, it's exclusive information that I'm talking about because there's no more out here with this information and studying this information. And my whole thing is that what I'm looking to do is look to see how we can tap into that money because that money is yours. That account, that's yours. So those who do got a license, you surrender. Make sure you get a copy of it so that way you can get the Q-sub number on it so we can pull the face amount value on that license. So I had to put that out there, brother, because it is money. All these instruments are nothing but money. So my whole thing is that if you have a license and they busy hitting it up, where the money's already on the license, the shit that is hitting. So why would you got to get insurance when the license covers the license itself is a bond? It covers everything. You know what I'm saying? So this is what the information that I put out there, Brother Tahaka. And again, you know, last week in class and the week before that, I had a lot of new people in the class, and they was flabbergasted because they said, brother, we have never heard nothing like this or never seen nothing like this. I know why. Because a lot of our brothers and sisters and a lot of them groups out there that's talking about substitute value, all right, or whatever process that they're studying, discharge debts and all that, to let you is actually showing you that your credit card account, your driver's license, your birth certificate, your marriage license, your death certificate, your diploma from high school or from college, your degree, your nurse's license or your carpentry license, any license you get, all these are structured finance. You can get the Q-sub number to it, and you'll be surprised or astonished how much money that your license is in generated in a fund that we have no idea that's what's going on.
Okay.
And they got the audacity to want to tax you because 9 out of 10 licensing is all dealing with revenue laws. And they want to tax you. They want to monitor you and tax you, but at the same time, they're making money off you. All right?
Right.
If you have a checking account, if you have a coupon that's coming for an automobile or a mortgage loan, all right, those accounts that's created, which is structured finance, all those instruments are in reference to your money. There's a more. Listen to this, family. I'm about to say something that's going to throw those who are listening to the flow. So you may have to put your crash dummy suit on. But I wouldn't want no injuries for those who just listen. There's a more who would use the securitization process based upon this Q-sub and went to court and deliberated the issue on behalf of his mom. And the judge put the more last, but you already know more. More go last anyway because they don't want the rest of the public to hear what Amor going to drop in the courtroom. So they already knew what Amor was going to come with, so they deliberately put him last. The judge is going to put in a motion, an order to dismiss the mortgage and cancel the mortgage out where she don't have to pay no more mortgage. Do you know more because of that happening? And that's all we're waiting for is a copy of the order. And more, when I get the order, I will exclusively mail you a copy, family. Exclusively mail you a copy of the order dismissing this mortgage. And the headbanger, brother, this is the one that everybody's going to need the crash dummy suit on. The headbanger is the bank's representative came to his mom's house offering $100,000. And she told him that she's not interested in the money. She wants to keep her house. He said, oh, no, you don't have to leave. You don't have to leave. You can still stay in the house. And it was offered $100,000 to withdraw that motion so the judge won't put his order in on that mortgage. Why? Because that $100,000.
Once that happens.
That $100,000, this is what you need to hear. That $100,000 is her money. It ain't like he's doing her a favor. That's the money that's generated off her account, her mortgage account, and that $100,000 should have went into her escrow account where she could have access to it, all right? And it's more than $100,000 that money that belongs to her. But the reason why, so you all know what's going on, is because the mortgage has been fractionalized, which means broken up into tranches or into parts, and being sold in the form of prospectus or portfolio to investors. And all that money is coming in, so they cannot afford to shut that account down by court order. Because once that system is going through the court and is shut down, that means that they're going to lose millions upon millions of dollars on that investment. That's what this is about, Brother Tahaka.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hold on, Brother Committee Ube. I want you to, because I got another caller in the queue, but I want you to real slow give you, and loud and clear, give your contact information, because we got a lot of new people here, and we're dropping some very, very heavy information, so go ahead.
Yes, my contact number is 347-626-1357. That's 347-626-1357. You can either call me at that number, or if you can't reach me, you can text me. All right? Please text me because my voicemail message is faithful, and I have that on purpose because I want you to be able to contact me directly or at least through text, and that way I can get back to you right away. Because listening to all the voicemail messages, I got over 50. It's just too much. Every single day, Brother Tahaka. And you can reach me at email also, which is Fia Yamila, F like in trench, U like in universe, R like in red, D like in David, E like in Eric, M like in mom, U like in universe, I like in ID, R like in red at yahoo.com. They can reach me also at that particular location too, Brother Tahaka.
Okay. I'm going to bring in my next caller, and I spoke with this gentleman earlier today, and I was flabbergasted, and I want you two to meet each other and communicate with each other.
Yes.
I'm going to open up the line, and what I want him to do is shed some light on these briefly on these contracts and stuff, because he's going to be a guest on my broadcast tomorrow night at 7 p.m. right here on Morris Talk Live 100. So just hold on 1 second. Area code 917. Professor Phillip, come on in.
Hey, how's it going?
It's fantastic, brother.
All right.
Could you give us briefly some bright brown information on you, and then after you do that, could you shed some light on these contracts and CUSIP numbers and stuff?
Okay. Well, my name is, they call me Professor Phil. I go by the name Philip Gillen. I'm out of the Midwest. I grew up, you know, on the poor side of the South Side, and you know, I thought I'd be better than, you know, what I saw around me. So I started reading books that hit books, and you know, I hit books pretty hard, and then decided, okay, that there's got to be another meaning to what I'm reading. So after high school, I went into college, Penn State, and I dropped out because I saw what was going on. I passed the bar with flying colors, didn't even want anything to do with it. Picked up a little short end license for paralegal, in Illinois State, and then came back to Illinois, and basically just bombarded the daily administration with ridiculous amounts of claims. Let's say that I kind of quietly pronounced the war against them with the minority contracts, a lot of dirty stuff they were doing. What wound up happening after I divorced two of my children, that ultimately the state wanted to rob me. I in fact insisted that the state, taking the bond of the clerk of the court, make the very agreement that the clerk is supposed to be the obligee. Hey, what's going on, guys? Contracting benefits over to me, and statutorily, they offered me the bond. I offered the bond statutorily to my ex-wife. The two children right now are picking up $1,300 for two children, so you're talking $2,600 off this bond that was liquidated by the state of Illinois. Because, well, they agreed to pay the debt. They know that. They're on assessment to assign these statutory liabilities so that they can create credit out of thin air. They need money, so they need you, a party, or an agreeing party to statutorily oblige to do so. So the child support thing is something I've been able to successfully mediate. I'm living with someone that's actually proof of it. His name is Will Spencer. He happens to be a dude that winded up in a big trouble in Minnesota, and they're going to bury him like $120,000 in arrears, you know. So he was big money, you know, about $100K. Tried to drag him under, got rid of it for him. As far as I guess you could say the contemporary art of war with contracts, I can't emphasize more that every time they pass a statutory grievance, meaning they pass a law, they're, in fact, before they even pass the law, they have to pass what is called an appropriations bill. This bill is just to finance and underwrite the actual benefits and privileges that derive from, as the gentleman before us had stipulated, that they're actually using your driver's privileges. You know, when you sign up for that particular license, you're actually stipulating that they can create statutory benefits in case you decide to do what is called a welfare, allow them to do what is called a welfare check. When they do a welfare check, that means they're stopping you, trying to find out if you're in receipt of a liability. That means if you're holding a license, you agreed to pay any statutory fees, agreements, and anything else that comes with the statutory benefit of a breach of the public trust, which thus the trust, if it's breached, they can then fund that particular activity. I mean, for the most part, the statutory ramifications of the court in and of itself is nothing more than a business. That's all it is. I found something like out of 60 counties I've looked into, 44 have tax identification numbers. They have borrowers. They have specific assessment contracts with other municipalities that co-sign their legal liability, and the juggernaut of their entire operation is based on a sporadic form of using and financing, being financed by grants and underwriting them as statutory breaches of public trust. So anytime something happens, they get to sign a check, give it to the comptroller, comptroller gives it to the treasury, treasury kicks out a check to the agents, and now you've just employed the courts to basically ransack your home, rob you of any benefits you may have, and, of course, anything that statutorily applies, they can in some way, shape, form, or fashion levy, lien, or just practically take, like state property. Nasty business, guys. Nasty business.
Okay. Brother, could you give the audience a means of contacting you?
Sure. You can get a hold of me at 917-292-9114. My email address is commonbonding@gmail.com, commonbong at gmail.com. Again, the number is 917-292-9114. If you want to see some of my YouTubes, knock yourself silly. It's if you go on YouTube, you put in, if you're doing a search, you put in Grinch11, G-R-E-N-C-H 11. Blog is Politics and Money, Politics and Money, .blogspot.com.
Okay.
And tomorrow I'm going to blow your airways up, man. Blow it up.
Well, brother, we certainly appreciate you coming in. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll have Professor Phillip tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And because we've created our first community, all Moorish community, right down here in Jacksonville, Florida. And the blueprint's already down.
By the way, I'm going to set you guys up with your courts. Yes, I will. We will, and I hope we get into that, setting up the courts and actually putting in administrative settings so that the courts domestically they have to acknowledge that that Moorish governance will be established. I'm telling you guys, it's going to be big, major.
Okay. Well, brother, I certainly appreciate you coming on, and we'll be checking you tomorrow night. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Peace. Brother, commit to you, Bay.
Islam, Mo.
Okay. We're gonna take a little quick break, and I'm going to come right back, and then we can continue, okay?
Be sure to subscribe to NBTV at NBTV1.com. The that cares.
In other words, you can ask the question the other way. What would happen if we educated 80, 90, or 95% of black students, of Latino students, who are the majority of the New York City population now, if we educated them in such a way that they could score as well or outscore white folk? Ultimately, then, that would mean that we as people would replace white folk in the New York City occupational structure. At this point, you would probably see some racism in this town that you thought did not exist. It would be at this point that blatant racism would rise again, to the point as it happened in the South, where people would say, well, I don't really care what kind of educational background you have and what kind of qualifications you have. This is a white man's job, and this is for white folks first. But you see, we don't have to get to that nasty scenario because we drop out before we what? Get there. So it saves the city and it saves the nation some very nasty racial confrontations. That is one of the reasons I argue then that this city and this nation, as much as it talks about preventing dropouts, as much as it talks about improving the educational quality of our children and of our people, never seems to be able to do anything about it. Never seems to be able to change anything. So we have a lot of bleeding heart about how we wish and how we are trying to see to it that our people are educated and that the disadvantaged are educated, and you get great news pieces about some great teaching method or some great educational approach that can resolve educational problems. But then after a month or two, you never hear of the great teaching approach again. In other words, then, we have to keep in mind that it is not in the cards, as far as Europeans are concerned, for African people to ever be their equals. As much conversations, as you hear, about equality and about, you know, multiculturalism and all of the other stuff you hear floating in the air. The essential thing is that Europeans and whites have no intentions of moving African people from the positions of servitude, and they have no intentions of giving up their power to regulate our opportunities as a people and to regulate those opportunities in their own interest as a people. The other thing that we have to look at, too, is the fact that we as African people, we are a very moral people, you see. We are really moral. People talk about so-called criminality in the African community. But when you really look at us as a people, we tend to be very moral, and we tend to think that people should do the right thing just because it's right. And if people are in positions of responsibility, they should just take those responsibilities seriously and do and act toward those responsibilities in an equitable manner without regard to race, color, or creed. But this is not a reality at all. When you look at the reality of life, people belonging to different classes, people having different social, political, and economic power operate in their own class interest. No matter how moral it may be, and no matter how moral it may sound, there is no way that the Europeans who have the economic and political power and the advantages that they have today are going to voluntarily give them up to you as African people in the name of some kind of moral principle or in the name of Christianity. And I'm saying this because we think that professionals belonging to a particular ethnic group are going to overlook their ethnicity, that professionals belonging to particular class backgrounds are going to overlook their class background, and that they are going to provide equal opportunity for others. You must recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that class struggles and struggles between groups is a reality. You young people here today, I will assure you that by the time you get 80 or 90 years old, there will still be ethnic struggles. There will still be struggles between ethnic groups. Do not deceive yourself and do not fall for the propaganda that someday, some way, little white boys and little white girls are going to be holding hands and people are going to be measured by the content of their character. You got another thought coming. The struggles between races and groups, the struggles between classes and groups has been here since the very beginning, and they will continue to be here. The only people foolish enough to believe that such an age is going to come are black folk. And this is one of the reasons why today they're on the bottom of the class and economic and political ladders, because they actually believe somehow a miracle is going to occur where folk are going to look at them and not see the color of their skin. If you think that day is going to occur, you got another thought coming. If you're keeping up with the news today, if you're looking at what's going on in all over the world, in Yugoslavia, where you have so-called ethnic cleansing operations going on, where the Serbs are fighting against the Muslims and the Croats and so forth, if you look at this situation, here are people who lived under Russian communism for almost 40 years. And under Russian communism, they were taught the ideals of classlessness, that there is really no difference in classes, that there should be no class differences, there should be no race differences, there should be no differences based on religion and so forth. And communism is about reducing differences based on class, religion, and creed. And the Russians ruled over Yugoslavia, ruled over Czechoslovakia, Armenia, and many other nations, and brought them into what we call the Soviet Empire. Now, as soon as Russia fell apart, what happened? These groups fell into ethnic conflicts. And now you are reading and hearing about the ethnic conflicts that are going on in Herzegovina, in Sarajevo, in Yugoslavia. Even if we look today in our homeland of Africa, we will still see struggles within our African nations between ethnic groups. Ethnic struggles and class struggles are realities. And until we recognize that these are realities and they are realities that we have to confront and deal with, we will be victimized by the realities that we seek to deny. And to a great extent, the thrust of this country has been to get us as an African people to deny reality, has been to get our youth so caught up in music and so caught up in clothes and so caught up in wishful thinking and so caught up in multiculturalism that they will not recognize the realities that are going on in the world. As I often tell college classes, you talk about multiculturalism in the classroom and you're singing other group songs and you're learning to respect other groups and other races. And I ask them, where are the multicultural grocery stores in your neighborhoods? Where are there blacks and Koreans owning the grocery stores? Where are there blacks and Koreans owning the vegetable markets? Where are there blacks and Latinos owning stores and businesses? Where are there blacks and Arabs owning? Where is the multiculturalism that you talk about so much in these schools and in these colleges in real life? When you walk out of these doors and you're taught by multicultural teachers, you're taught by white teachers, and you're taught by teachers from other ethnic groups, but when you walk out of that door, you see essentially one group of people, one group of ethnic people owning your neighborhoods, owning your vegetable markets, owning your businesses, controlling your community economically. So the reality of the school is not the reality of the world. The glorious sounds of Martin Luther King's speeches are not the realities of the world. And you must come to terms with the realities of the world. And the music that you hear...
Be sure to subscribe to NBTV at NBTV1.com. The people that cares.
Okay, Brother Committee, you babe, we back. And what I want to do, we got a lot. Are you with me, brother?
Yes, I am, Noble. I'm with you.
Okay. We got a lot of new people here because we have a steady influx of new people coming into the broadcast all the time. And so what I want to do is let's bring them up to speed on the differences between civil procedure, state procedure, and federal procedures. Could you do that for us?
Yes, Noble. I can bring you up to date on that. The Administrative Act, which is Title V of the United States Code, is federal. And the administrative law, when you hear that term, is state. The state have to be, by law, in compliance with the Federal Administrative Procedure Act. And so both of them have an administrative system that they have to operate up under. So there are checks and balances there between the two. All right. When you begin to start studying the administrative procedure, you begin to start learning that there are certain statutes that one must follow. Like, for instance, Title 28 of the United States Code is the statute of the federal side of the administrative procedure. And that is something that all of us need to have in our possession, because one of the problems that I've noticed that we were having is that we are not comprehending the procedure, and the reason why is because you're not reading the statutes. All right? So when I do at times be directed to YouTube and I see certain brothers and sisters operate a certain way, it looks like as though we're incompetent because I realize that we're not looking at these procedures. All right? Because if we are going to be in the forum of these Europeans, all right, you have to operate a certain way. All right? There's no difference than if someone is in your forum, you know, Brother Tucker, you have to operate a certain way. So you just can't operate the way you want to operate. And this is why when I was making mention of getting the vehicle traffic law, that's an administrative procedure on a state level, and I wanted the brother to acknowledge that. I said, listen, before you surrender your license, all right, I want you to be able to get the vehicle traffic law and read the statute. Look up the word surrender within the statute. That is an administrative procedure, all right? And so on a state level, all right, they do have administrative procedure on traffic on a federal level, all right? And that's the level that we should really study because studying it on a federal level refers to something that's national. All right, and you notice that you have more leeway on a federal level, on a national level, than on a state level because, as has been said by Dr. Phillips earlier, that these instruments are being used to generate all kinds of income. All right, and of course, we not only are part of these infrastructures that we sign our names to these contracts, and the only thing they're doing is generating the money, and that's the reason why I was giving you the insight about the Q-sub number, because there's an administrative level that they're dealing with in finance that we are unaware of Brother Tahaka. And mm-hmm. every state has what you call local finance law. Every state has it. And that's also an administrative procedure. So when you talk about administrative procedure, both federal and state, all right, there are veritable administration and procedures for the state and federal, depending on what department and what subject matter you're dealing with. And so you want people to be aware of that information, and so it'll depend on what is it that you're applying. So, of course, we use the vehicle traffic law as an example for people to comprehend. Or, as I heard Dr. Phillips was speaking earlier, I can give you a quick analysis on an administrative procedure so people can see exactly what I'm referring to as a reference, and they can grasp it, because I know this information is new. It's like speaking German to some folks, and those who are new need a little bit more insight of what it is about this administrative procedure. First of all, child support. People don't know Brother Tahaka, and I've learned this because I've been around a lot of Moors and Mohinas, all right, and a lot of different groups, and I just listen to them talk. And one thing I noticed that they don't study the administrative procedure, all right, and this is the reason why I'm so effective, because I study these procedures, and I see exactly what they're referring to when they speak. Everybody who has a job and they're working, they're getting deductions in reference to Social Security tax. All right? Let me use that as an example. One, Title 4D, four meaning the Roman numeral four. Title 4D, meaning the Roman numeral four of the Social Security Act. You can type that up in Wikipedia, or you can go to Google and Google that, or Bing, and put that in. Title 4D of the Social Security Act is what creates child support and child support agencies, which is the collection agency for child support. What I was telling people in the past, Brother Tahaka, is that if you're working a job and you're getting deductions coming out of your check, and if you look mm-hmm. at the pay stuff very carefully, you'll see that you're paying a Social Security tax, you're paying a Medicaid tax, you're paying FICA, which is Federal Insurance Contribution Act, and you're paying a state tax. So you have money coming out of your check of deductions at least four different deductions that you can see. And these deductions that are coming out of your check, that you see in your pay stub, are contributions into the Social Security Trust. You in that trust, there are veritable entities within that trust, like SSD, SSA, Title 4D, and I'm just giving you examples. And Title 4D is where the collection agency has been created. It's been created out of your money coming out of your check, and also child support is coming out of that also. Why I'm making mention of that? Because everybody who is getting a deduction is paying already into the child support system. And we don't see that. That's why in my class I make it clear. I said, listen, the brothers have to go after the sisters with being angry, and the sisters got to stop going after the brothers being angry, because why? We don't seem to realize that the willing lend system is in effect. You're both contributing to child support system, and that money's there for children. That's what the money's there for. So when we start petitioning each other to come to family court for child support, not realizing that the support has been there because you already paid for it. So anytime one of our brothers or sisters who are subject to child support, you're paying nothing but a surplus because you're already making your contributions to child support. Because you're making the contribution again through Social Security tax, through Medicaid tax, through estate tax, through FICA, all right? Those are the deductions that are actually going into that trust, all right? I did the studies in it, and I was, of course, astonished of how we are being duped, all right? And so child support, the administration of that is a $1 billion industry, all right? And they have created laws where if there's some type of noncompliance, they're actually incarcerating a brother or a sister, all right, for child support, all right? And so that's another industry, because now you're going into the correctional industry where they're generating even more money for you for not obeying a court order, all right? And so, and they're making it criminal for you not to comply with child support. But again, Brother Tahaka, the issue is that if the money is already coming out, or when the money is already coming out, there's no need for no one to take one to court in the form of a petition for child support when child support is already being paid as a contribution into Title 4D of the Social Security Act. Every single last one of us is saying that, all right? And so we're being duped. And the only reason why we're being duped, brother, and we're coming at each other and we're being damaged is because we do not comprehend the administrative process, all right? Each one of these agencies out there on a local, state, and federal level all have an administrative process, and we do not recognize it because of the fact that we have never been educated in finance, let alone being educated in law, Brother Tahaka.
Okay. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Now, my job at this point is to break this down to what they used to tell us in school, to the lowest denomination. People of African descent inside the United States, Moors, or whatever title that you are accepting, whether you want to be accept your nationality or not. If you want to be Negro, colored, or black, it still don't matter. Our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and we are responsible for creating more jobs in this country than anybody else. We are the biggest consumers in this country. So all of these things that the brother just described to you are put in place to extract revenue from you, okay? They already have you disenfranchised through nationhood. They created a bond for you at birth. They denationalized you at birth, which is a crime. They put Negro, color, black, right there on your birth certificate. Now, that's a crime. So now, all we got to do is set up rules and regulations and guidelines, and when they break, when this particular species of people break these rules and regulations and guidelines, then we can tax them, double tax them, because we're going to put them in a position to allow us through agreement to access a bond that they already have, because what we're going to do is keep them from knowing that the bond and the money has already been paid. It's called double dipping.
Correct.
Then what we're going to do, we're going to take control of the schools, we're going to take control of the media, and we're going to force these people in a position to be in a subservient position and provide livelihood for any and everybody that comes into this community. And we're going to set this thing up so if you go down there trying to get a loan or trying to do something, we can't let you get out because we're dependent on you for our livelihood. Because it's you that's out there doing the work, and it's us that's, all the business, all the buildings and stuff and typing and doing all this right here and can offer all these monies for these contracts and do all this here. And because we got a force of people in the millions inside this country that's whose blood we are sucking because of they have not paid attention to their own ancestors. We say that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So tonight what I would like for you to do is go to www.TahakaArchives.com, which is a private library, one of the most powerful libraries inside the United States. Everything that you need to succeed with is there. You can study, because knowledge is power. And once you become empowered, then you can have your own communities. You can provide food and jobs for yourself right there in your own community, right there. You can start buying, you can own the store and then hire the sons and daughters of single parents right there in your own community and give them a contract where they can be part owner of the business, because a president will be working 10 times harder for something that he know one day he'll get something out of it, opposed to working for somebody and getting a paycheck with no hope for the future. Master the art of controlling the infrastructure of your own community. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to know how. And that's why you're on this broadcast tonight, because I have the know-how to put in your lap. And I'm not just throwing it in there, leaving you alone. I want you to call me after you get it so I can guide you through, so you can stand on your own 2 feet, and then you're ready to shake the firm. And if we get enough of us doing this, then we can make some very positive moves in the country. You're in a neighborhood today. You got all these different nationalities coming into the neighborhood. You going to work hard every day, all day. Some of you got 2 or 3 jobs. And you steady coming and giving your money to somebody who has already said that we will never hire you to work in our stores. You give us your money, we'll sell you what you want, and then you come back tomorrow and do the same thing. And then we'll take your money, and then we'll go in further in the more of your community and sell you something else. But we're not going to allow you to have your own. So we've been in all that. Now, once we come together and start setting up these infrastructures and controlling these communities, it's over. The jig is up. Okay, brother. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, bro. Brother Tucker, you said something that was very interesting because, you know, most people know me for etymology, and I was just listening to what you were deliberating on, which people have to really be clear about this term community. And the word community, the etymology, another synonymous word that you should recognize is the word commercial unity. That's what community means, because the word community deals with commerce. So it's commercial unity. And our people do not have commercial unity. We allow other people in our neighborhoods developing commercial unity to abstract the dollars out of our community. And that is nothing but financial warfare as an act on our neighborhoods. All right? So they're abstracting the revenues from us. So we need to have commercial unity, all right, which is what we know as a community. Because we would use the word community, but it ain't clicking. So we have to have commercial unity among ourselves, all right? And I have different programs, financial programs, that I'm going to have up and running to create that commercial unity, because unfortunately, because we are being locked outside of the resources. We are not in a position to put hands on resources, but we, with intelligence, can create our own resources, all right? And I have a financial infrastructure I'm going to put into play so we can have a commercial unity and control our dollars and our strength, so that way other people who's not in our community, we wouldn't have to support them, all right, where we can take our own economic infrastructure and start having our own businesses without someone keep abstracting the dollars and not putting back into our community. It's like we need to have our own chamber of commerce, all right? That's what we need to have. We can create our own. We can chart our own chamber of commerce. We don't need no one's chamber of commerce. We don't need to be a part of them. We need to create our own so that way we can be in control by the time.
I have to agree 100%. And what I'm going to do now, Brother Commit to You, is I'm going to ask the audience if you got any cases, if you need to make a comment, if you have questions, now's the time to raise your hand, and I'll recognize your hand, and you can come on in, and so we can help you out, and we can deal with this situation. But until you do that, I just want to say that all you got to do is pay attention. Watch your surroundings wherever you are. If you look around and you see the Asians, the Koreans, the Japanese, the Mexicans, whoever they are, watch the money trucks pull up to the stores in the morning. The guys get out, got the badge and gun on, and he goes in the store, and he comes out with the money bag. Now, that's all your money.
That's right.
But guess what? He doesn't go and put none of that money in a bank that you own. So that means that money is going into a bank that they own. And when that happens, they have taken revenue out of your community, which forces you to be the same today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, until you die. You see. See, nobody can care about you until you start caring about yourself. People of African descent inside this country has been turned upside down and inside out. But once you turn around and you start studying, paying attention, start learning some things, start talking to your brothers and sisters, realize that, wait a minute, this attack is not against me and you. It ain't no fight between me and you. Me and you got to stop arguing and fussing and fighting and realize that we got a bigger problem. And if we don't solve this problem, we're going to be in trouble. bigger trouble than we are, because they done took down all the borders around the United States, and anybody can come in here. And these people coming straight into your community, and you can't fight against all of these people. You're going to have to come together and create your own community. You're going to recognize one another. And anybody in that community that don't look like you, we can't buy nothing from you. If you selling me hell, and you mean to tell me that I got hell and you don't want to sell none of it, I don't see nobody else buying your hell but us. So that means that if I stop buying hell and everybody that looks like me stop buying hell, that'll leave an empty building. And if the building is empty, we just simply walk in there and occupy it. We get together with the community, we occupy the building, we set up the infrastructure, and we roll. I got one call on the line. Hello? 402, come on in.
Hold up, Brother Gardner.
Hold up, brother. What is that?
This is Charlie Joe Bay of Omaha, Nebraska. Now, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I agree with all that. But the thing is, you know what I'm saying, before we even get to occupying about bringing the finance in, most of the time when we do bring the finance into the community, we have no place to store our own finance. Shouldn't we work on a place in developing our own banking system?
All that's on the blueprint. We know everything that we need. The first thing we got to do, I always try to reduce things down to the lowest denominator. All you got to do is watch a stray dog in your community. What he'll do is he'll sniff around on the ground and he'll find a good spot, and then he'll do what he got to do. He'll mark that territory. Then he'll go around and he'll find nothing all the way around the block until he marks the whole territory. Now, when the next dog come along, that dog, he's going to mark his own territory. So when you mark the territory, when you go out, you look at where you are. You look at all the water that's coming in through the utilities. Anything that's being produced to that, provided to that community that you don't control, that somebody else controls. You got to mark it down and get ready, get in maneuver in the position to control it. But what you're gonna do is you're gonna bring everybody in that community into focus by letting them know the following. By coming together with this, what we're about to do, what you can profit, where you can profit,
right,
when you can profit, who says you can profit, where you can profit, how you can profit, and we will lay it out through benefits to be gained and losses to be avoided. So now once we get this thing going, then we get to taking and put maneuvering in position to provide food for ourselves by growing our own food in our community. We can set up hydroponic systems that allow the fish that we put there to provide fertilizer and an abundance of fish to be sold outside of the community. We protect the community by our own patrol, and we're going to deal with something tomorrow night that's very, very phenomenal. And once you learn this right here, it's amazing. But we don't have to worry about all that because we're looking at every angle from which we're about to do this. My job is to help with the infrastructure and the creating of the community and to make sure that everybody in there got more sense than me. So we'll be a formidable force to be reckoned with, not only by the state of Florida, but the United States and anybody else coming in here from any other country. Got another question?
No, not really. That was one of my main questions. And my other concern was with most of the youth these days, by the time they realize that you're trying to help them, they too busy trying to rob from you and steal from you. How would I denominate that way of thinking? To promote a more positive.
We ain't got to worry about them. We ain't got to worry about them. They'll be part of the satellite. That's already taken care of. We ain't got to worry about them. See, we have to understand how the brain works. Here go. We got five senses. What goes in and what we are controlled by. Now, when we shut down, all these mechanisms are in place to provide sustenance for somebody other than you. See, what they had to do in order for them to even live lavishly, they're gonna have to gain total control of your brain. So they come out with all these, they come out with movies, they come out with video games, anything to keep you from thinking, to keep you from uniting, to keep you from being educated. We'll give you a school to go to, but the government say that we gonna give you the knowledge to learn. So therefore, you'll be marginally educated. But whatever you do, don't learn what you're supposed to be learning so you can unite and do what you're supposed to do. Because if you do that, it's over for us. We cannot live lavishly. We cannot eat consciously. We got to stop them. Because we got every Tom, Dick, and Harry coming up in this country setting up shop in our neighborhood because we fail to realize the power of what the brother just spoke about of community and comparing a business structure. So that's where we are right now, and that's what we're doing. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
All right. Peace, my brother. Brother, commit to
brother,
you.
Yeah, Brother Tucker, I also want to say this, too, all right, because I'm studying this, and it's very important because, like I said, I have some financial infrastructures into play because I study in finance and I'm taking up courses in finance. It seems like nobody else is doing this in order for us to have our own economic resource so we can have a resource that we can tap into. And the brother had put out a point, which is well taken because that's one of my plans, is to have us to have our own credit union, all right? Because if we can have our own credit unions, you know, start up a credit union in your own community, all right? But I have to put an infrastructure together so that way we can have our own credit union set up, all right, in each one of our communities. Wherever we locate it, we have to have a credit union set up. And once we have a credit union, that means that credit union is a non-banking system. That's what that's called, a non-bank banking. That's what you're doing. You're doing non-bank banking,
okay?
And that's what the credit union is about. And you wouldn't have to worry about being up under banking regulations because you're not a bank, but you'll be operating as though you are a bank, all right? And in that way, we can maintain and control our own funding, all right? Because we are having problems with these banks too. So if the bank is going to give us problems where we can't get loans, a simple home equity loan or a car loan or a student loan, we need to start creating our own credit unions, and the only way we're going to be able to do that is that we would have to come together, all right, and create our own credit union, which means, again, pull our resources and our monies together so we can have our own credit union, and we can do this. And once we start setting up credit unions across the country, then we can centralize that credit union. We can centralize that and strengthen our economy, all right? And we can do that, Brother Tahaka. Peace.
I know we can, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a little quick break. That'll give everybody a chance. If you have questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand because when this is over, we're going to start letting you in, okay? Y'all hold on a moment.
The sadistic rhymes that you hear in this rap is not the reality of the world. The recordings of pieces of Malcolm X's speeches between rap rhymes does not meet what you need to know about what's going on in the world. They are designed to maintain you deaf, dumb, and blind to reality, and ultimately to set you up for death and damnation and rulership by other ethnic groups and other people. You may dip and bow your head to the rhythm of the music, but yet as soon as you dip and bow your head to the rhythm of the music, I can see you looking and looking to see if you can jump over the turnstile to avoid being caught by a white policeman. Because the reality is that while you're dipping and bowing to the sounds of the rap, the white nerds are staying in school, and the same white nerds will be the ones that will arrest you and put you in jail. And it's the same white nerds that you try to avoid at these turnstiles, and it's the same white nerds that sit in these courts and sentence you to 25 years in prison and sentence you to life in prison and may one day even sentence you to death. You must wake up to the reality of things. And you must wake up to the fact that there is no group of people, white, black, Korean, Latino, Arab, or any other group, that's going to hand you and you and you and you equality on a platter. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to struggle for it. And you're going to have to realize that you have to defend your interests as a people and as a student. And that there are classes today, such as the white middle class, that struggles to maintain its prerogatives. Let me give you an idea, because some people make a big mystery out of education. Let me just read here why we are being miseducated and how we are being miseducated. This was a piece in the New York Times, the 18th of February, 1993. Teaching in a closet or a shower. Crowded classes and more students are a portent of the future. It is so crowded in some New York City public schools that some students get lunch at 10:30 a.m. Some attend classes in churches, empty warehouses, factories, even defunct department stores. Classes are taught in closets, and computer labs are converted shower stalls. And the problem is only getting worse. And they talk about the largest surge in enrollment in a quarter of a century in New York City schools. They indicate here that city public school enrollment peaked in 1971 with the record of 1,140,349 students as the city entered a period of stark decline and retrenchment. What are we saying here? The number of students that are entering New York City schools is increasing at the very point when New York City schools are becoming poverty stricken, when the New York City school budgets are what? Decreasing and shrinking. This is the school system that African American people have inherited. A school system that is becoming constricted and restricted in its financial possibilities. And yet at the very point that it is becoming constricted in its ability to finance our education, the number of students entering the system is increasing. Schools officials used the opportunity to close and dispose of outdated school buildings that they thought they would never need again. In other words, in the 70s, they thought that the decline in the population of New York City schools would continue. And so they closed some schools, they got rid of them because they thought they would never need them again. And now, lo and behold, what has happened? The population has increased, and we have tremendous overcrowding. Much of the recent increase has been attributed to new immigrants who have been filling up public schools in some neighborhoods while seats in other neighborhoods go begging. Some of the growth is also because of the economic pressures on parents during a recession that has resulted in sagging enrollments in private and parochial schools. We are seeing a shrinkage in the population of parochial schools, that is, Catholic schools and other private schools. While enrollment in our schools continues to grow dramatically, our share of the state's allocation for education continues to shrink. This was stated by Mr. Fernandez, the outgoing chancellor. In the last 3 years, more than 125,000 immigrant children enrolled in city schools. The largest group came from the Dominican Republic, followed by Jamaica, the former Soviet Union. We're going to come back to this immigrant issue, by the way. The former Soviet Union. In other words, as the Soviet Empire broke down, a lot of the people are leaving that empire, including Soviet Jews and other European white folk, and coming to America. And, of course, are being enrolled in New York City schools. They're also coming from Guyana, China, and Haiti. They note that between 1971 and 1991, enrollment in private or parochial schools fell by more than a third to 267,838 from 415,939. So the educational situation here is going to be one of great struggle between groups for shrinking resources. The struggle has been taking place since the very beginning between white and black, with the whites, of course, manipulating the budgets and manipulating the nature of education of African people to maintain their power relations and their dominance over African people, a relationship that they do not intend to give up. Let's compare some of the spending per student in the New York City area between 1986 and 1987. Manhasset, which is out on Long Island, the spending per student per year amounts to $11,372, that is between 86 and 87. Now look at how that compares with New York City during that period, which spent $5,585. In other words, on Long Island, in places where white students are, the state spends more than twice as much money per student than in New York City. This is how ethnic groups, this is how class groups maintain their advantage and maintain their power. Let's look again. Jericho, Long Island. Again, $11,325 per student. Great Neck, $11,000. Again, compare that now to the $5,000 figure I mentioned in New York City. Bronxville, $10,000. Yonkers, Rye, New York, $9,000. Yonkers, $7,000 per student. Levittown, $6,000. Mount Vernon, $6,000. Roosevelt, $6,000. Down to New York City, $5,000. It's no accident, then, that people coming from these areas, going to these schools, have an advantage over people coming out of the New York City schools. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not aware of these facts, if you're not struggling in terms of the state allocations for educational funds, if you're not aware of how money is allocated in the state for education, then you're going to be victimized by those allocations. And as you can see, the allocations are weighted to maintaining the status quo. Let's look then again at how this gap has widened. Let's bring it more up to date in terms of 1989 and 90. Manhasset, $15,000 per student. On Long Island again, Jericho, $14,000. Great Neck, $15,000. Now we're coming closer to home. Mount Vernon, $9,000. Roosevelt, $8,000. New York City, $7,000. So what are we indicating here then? That the ethnic and class struggle continues, and that ethnic and class struggle is such that those ethnic groups and those classes which can exercise political and economic power will bias the distribution of educational funds in such a way that their political and economic power is maintained. Now, those are the basic average figures. Now, you can go into particular areas such as Amagansett, Long Island, and you will recognize that there, the average amount of money spent per student in that area is something like.
Okay. Brother, commit to you, babe. We're back. And I see I have a caller with his hand raised. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the line and see what's going on. Area code 516. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment? 516.
This is Brother Noble Cifuel from New York Republic.
Okay. Let us have it.
First of all, I want to give thanks to you and Brother Clemente, you for doing a great job. I've been listening since the beginning. I just wanted to add it. Another way that we're going to liberate our people is we have to study and become a part of our ancient sciences. All right? Most of us is dominated by Christianity and all these other pagan doctrines, but we need to learn astrology, and we need to learn the metaphysical sciences, because this is also another way of how these so-called Europeans is dominating us. For an example, I work for the New York Post, and I do deliveries. And there was one night I was passing through Crown Heights, and they was doing a ceremony, and they was cleaning off themselves with birds. And you would think that you was in a voodoo ceremony. They was cleaning off themselves spiritually, and those same animals that they used to clean themselves off spiritually, they send it to our neighborhoods and sell it to us. And this spiritual energy that's on there, and it affects us. Now, there are those out there that may not fully comprehend what I'm saying because they don't have a metaphysical knowledge. But if anyone have any questions and want to learn more about astrology, you know, that's a way of how also we can liberate our people too. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, brother, I have to agree with you wholeheartedly. There's a ton of information that our ancestors have given us that we have overlooked. Other nations across the earth has taken our sciences and stuff and is using it against us. For instance, most of us, we haven't paid attention because a brother, he dropped his science at the summit. Every continent on this earth begins and ends with the alphabet A. Okay? So now, if that's true, then where does the word Europe come from? Where does the word Atlantis come from? Seems to be it should have been Atlanta. Because every continent, then we have Lemuria, or do you mean, and Lemuria. You see, we got Asia, we got Africa, we got a Mexum. Do we have a Mexum?
Australia.
All over the earth begins with A, and if you see your ancestors, they've already set up the guidelines for you. Astrology and astronomy are a part of what we use to rule our entire planet, because our DNA goes all the way back to the beginning of time. The oldest dynasty in ancient China is the Xia dynasty. What we have here is we need to know this stuff, and what I have done is put it in my archives and made available to my people, so when we start working on our communities, we don't have to go out there to go into any European library, because it's in every home inside the community. So the mother, the father, the daughter, the son, everybody can get on there and glean this knowledge and learn these things. And when they control their schools and they go inside these schools and they're hatching this marginally educated information, they can offset it. And when they mess with them, then they can understand law because there's a ton of that in there, and then they can sue them if they have to. Knowledge is power. So I have to agree with the brother, but we put all of that information in there. And for those of you who haven't accessed these archives, go to archives.com, get on in there, and then call me, and then we go to work, because it is vital. The hour is here. We have so many people against us now. We have the Koreans in our community. We have the Mexicans in our community. We have the Cubans in our community. And they're all living off of us. You know, we've been forced and put in a position where we
are the self-sustainers and lifebloods of everybody else on the planet. But we are being attacked and disoriented from all these different systems, institutions, gadgetry, billboards, music, television, all this to keep you distracted, to keep you in the same position that you are in until you are destroyed. You got to come up out of there. You got to turn it around. The earth, everything on it, and everything in it belongs to you. Come on in, brother, commit to you.
You know, brother, that's interesting that you said that, Brother Tahaka, and that's Brother Sifuel, and that brother is awesome in astrology. I don't know no one that's more awesome than that brother in astrology. And the reason why I'm saying, brother, is because the astrology that that brother deal with is not the ordinary astrology.
Okay.
All right? And the reason why I'm saying that is not the ordinary astrology, because that's the only brother that I know of, not even his sisters. I don't even see them doing it. What I'm about to tell you. He has some spiritual gifts in astrology, all right, which means his spiritual gifts is combined with astrology. You follow me what I'm saying? So he's not talking about the alignment of the planets and certain energies, but he has a gift to go along with astrology, so that makes it special what he had going on. But the people that he was referring to in Crown Heights, this is in Brooklyn, New York, and he's talking about them Jews out there who are walking around looking like Gedei. And if you know Gedei, how he looks, that's what he took on. He took on Gedei's clothing, all right,
okay.
Coming from out of our ancient ceremony system, all right. And these Europeans are using our spiritual system against us. And so that's another form of liberation, because about two or three Fridays ago, Haiti has celebrated her 209th anniversary of independence. Even though she's economically suffering, she was the one who set it off for their liberation. And that's why she's suffering to this day, because the French is feeling that Haiti owes them money, because Haiti have knocked off their whole economic system. All right? And the French, we already know, ran up into Mali. Some big thing going on right now in Africa, all right, with Algeria is involved also, all right. But the point is, what I'm saying is that we do need spiritual liberation, you know, and also what I want to bring to your attention, nationality is also one of the keys to our liberation. When people get a chance, and you should have this as a link to your library, Brother Tahaka, Henry Louis Gates Jr. Is doing a global research, just like the other brother, I can't recall his name, it'll come to me as I speak, where he, you can just type in blacks in Latin America and in Cuba,
okay.
and if you analyze that carefully, what I loved about our Moorish brothers, and it reminded me of chapter 48 of the Circle 7 Quran, what the prophet was making mention about the different countries, you know, in Latin America, and all these are Moorish Americans. This is what he was teaching. And the interesting thing about that video, if you go check it out, go to YouTube and you type it in, you'll see them. He's having them holding up their hands, and he see that there's different hues of brown, and he's asking them, oh, are you black? Are you black? Are you black? And because those are our Moorish Latin brothers, right? They're saying,
right.
They're not saying black, they're saying oh, Moreno. And Moreno is a Spanish word or a Latin word meaning more. You see what I'm saying? So they don't know that word black. All right?
Mm-hmm.
We got those out there who is under the misconception of this word black. And if that's true, why in the Latin world they don't know that word black? So when our brothers and sisters, the Moorish brothers and sisters from the Latin base of our culture, all right, they don't know the word black. So when you say they're black, they say no. And then over here in New York, I don't know any other place in the States. I've never experienced it in any other place, Brother Tahaka. But here, brothers and sisters will say, oh, those Dominicans, they act like they ain't black. Or those Puerto Ricans and them Cubans, they act like they ain't black. They black people. No. Any that they don't recognize that they are not what you think they don't recognize. They don't know that word as that. That was not something they were subjugated to. We were subjugated to that they were subject to the word Negro. So if you say Negro, they would say yes, which is something that we don't accept either, Brother Tucker, but they're quicker to say Marano, Moro, Marana, which means
uh-huh.
more. So they know right. that word. They know that word. And it's interesting because you can go to any one of our brothers and sisters in the United States, in the street, and ask them, do you know what a Moro is? They say, what's that, some kind of religion? But if you go to a Spanish-speaking person and say it's Moro, mm-hmm. they know that word. You know what I'm saying? Because they relate that word to themselves. And it's sad that our Latin brothers and sisters can see that word, Marano or Moro, you know what I'm saying, with themselves more than we can see the word more in English without mouth. You know what I'm saying? Because the European did not want us to realize or recognize ourselves as more. So I had to put that out there. But that was Henry Louis Gates Jr. You can type in the blacks of Latin America. He was in Mexico. He showed that forum. He was in Cuba. He showed that forum. All right. And then you have another brother, Renuka Rashidi. He's all over the place too. He's like in Palestine and different places, and he's learning our people. Because one thing I noticed that these two brothers have in common is that they're going all over the planet looking
oh, yeah.
for our people. You know what I'm saying? And that's important. And that's another part of our liberation, because everywhere we go, they want to suppress who we are. They don't want us to connect who we are. So we are the majority on this planet. We are not a minority, because the word minority means either incompetent, it means less than the majority, and it means one who's less of one who's underage. So we need the three of those terminologies, brother. Peace.
Okay. Now, I want to get back to the brother that you was about the astrology, and I got the number that I'm looking at here now, and I'm going to open back up his line and see if he's still there. Ladies and gentlemen, if y'all got questions or comments, now's the time to raise your hand. We got 23 minutes. If you got a case or whatever, come on. Area code 516, you still there, brother?
Yes, Brother C4L is still here.
Okay. Your contact number is 516-574-2230?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to call you tomorrow. Where are you located?
New York Republic.
Okay. I'm going to call you tomorrow, okay?
All right.
All right. Peace, my brother. I certainly appreciate you coming on. I'm going to mute your mic and go on to the next man. It's on. Area code 205. Come on in. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what your question or comment.
Hey, greetings to you, Brother Taraka. Thomas calling from Alabama.
Okay, brother. Let me have it, brother.
Yeah, my question was, that brother that called that was doing the astrology, would you know that he does readings or not?
I don't know. I just told him I'm going to call him tomorrow.
I heard that much. I didn't know did he offer services, or would you have that information or not?
Brother Parker?
Come on, commit to you.
Yes. I know the brother personally. That's my Morris brother. I've been knowing him for years. Yes, he does readings. All right, the brother's no joke. He has some spiritual sciences that's incredible, brother. So he does readings. If Tahaka could just give his number again, brother, you can give him a call. All right, and his brother's is serious, brother. He's serious. You ain't going to find no other astrologer like his brother, because he's not about just reading no planets, brother. You know, he gives you some spiritual insight along with astrology. So he had tough. Matter of fact, the brother's so serious that when he have you to do certain rituals, he would literally tell you to tell him to contact him in 9 days and let him know that something happened. That's how serious it is.
Okay. I'm kind of interested in it. Could you share the number with me, or should
yeah,
I get it from
Brother Tahaka? You can give his number again.
Yes, sir. The brother's number is area code 516. 516-574-2230.
And what's the brother's name?
Seafood. That's S I F like in Frank, U like in universe. Seafood Ill, E L.
Okay, I sure appreciate that. And I did have one other question, if you have time. I got a court case coming up here. Yeah, I have a court case coming up here, and I've kind of been studying the moral science. I'm kind of new to it, and yeah, I'm trying to get a little information on the procedure or what should I first do before entering into that.
Go ahead, commit to you.
All right, now come again, brother. You said you have a court case coming up, and whatever incident, what was the incident which you have, Noble?
Actually, it's a domestic violence case.
All right.
And I was shot. And then actually, all right, what happened? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As you were, brother, because I have to get some insight so I can be able to assist you. I'm listening.
Actually, it was an argument that got out of hand, and I called the police before it went too far, and I ended up going to jail. And, you know, I was just trying to, you know, get some insight of what should I hire a lawyer or, you know, stand
yeah,
for myself.
I got you, Noble, and that's an issue. That's an issue right there. You have a lawsuit, brother, because one thing that I'm aware of, and I was told this from police officers and DAs, what I'm about to tell you, is one of those first-come, first-served basis, which means if you were the one who made the call, all right, there's no way you're going to call yourself to be arrested for something that you're trying to bring peace, and unfortunately you got caught up, all right, so, which means that you had the intentions of trying to make sure that nothing escalated more than what it already was, and unfortunately you became the victim when you were the one who called to try to resolve peace, you know, within that domain, all right, and so now the question is, Noble, do you have any information based upon the call that was made from you? Because there's a transmission that they have to record to show that you made the call. You get me, Noble?
I made the 911 call and told them, you know, describe the incident for shortly. I really don't have no charges was pressed, but to my understanding, the police or sheriff, they the one pushed the issue for the charges. No parties pressed any charges.
Brother, you got a suit, brother. You got a suit because, you know, you took the words out of my mouth because what you just described, brother, I was about to state that before you stated it. That, because one thing I noticed that the problems that we have as the people in the community, all right, because I used to be a part of what you call as the Citizen Police Advisory Board up in Mount Vernon, New York. And the reason why me and several other Moors was a part of that, because I put Moors onto that, is so we can have some type of public relationship in our community, because one of the problems that we have is that you have Ku Klux Klan officers and skinheads and Nazi officers who still have a racist view about our people, all right? And they're sending them off in the community. And unfortunately, we have brothers or sister who would take on the same mentality of these Nazi skinhead officers in the community. But most of the time, it's them Europeans who are coming out community and don't have community relationship where, because they're supposed to be peace officers, all right? And if you call to disperse peace in a domestic situation, and as you stated, no charges was ever brought from either party, but you were just trying to disperse the peace by some assistance. Unfortunately, it's a situation where they come on the scene and they are making issue when there was no issue, all right? But if it was one of their own, you won't know, normally you won't see that happen. They would assist. You know what I'm saying? This is the mentality they got. If you notice, like the Trayvon Martin issue, if you pay close attention to that, you'll notice that the way they're treating Trayvon Martin is like as though he was the criminal. But when the guy in Connecticut did all the killing, they got a different attitude because it's one of their own, all right? The thing that disturbs me about that is because they went on a stream of saying we're going to ban all assault weapons, all right? They're not talking about attacking Caucasian young males who are potential threat of having guns, assault rifles, or weapons in the community. And we see this all the time, all right? Barack Obama is playing up to the role, which is garbage, all right? But, again, they have this thing called sagging, all right? They have a fine of $250 for any of our brothers walking in the street with their pants hanging off their rear end. They're going to get a ticket for $250. Now, the problem I have with it is that the sign, I have it, I'll send it to Brother Tahaka so you can see it, is that you got an African-American male, as they would say, with his shirt off his back, with his pants hanging off, with his hair in braids. Now, you got other ethnic groups walking around sagging. Why would you want to put a picture of a brother on a sign for $250 fine if you get caught walking around sagging up here in New York? This was going on. So, and also you have lesbian female, young lesbian female, walking around sagging too, acting like dudes, all right? You don't have her picture up on the sign. So they're just targeting us, brother. This is what they're doing. They're targeting us. So when you did call the police to try to bring peace in a domestic situation, all right, they brought noise, all right? But, brother, my number, again, if you have a pen, is 347-626-1357. I'm going to show you what you got to do, what methods that you got to go by in resolving your issue, because you have a suit. Because if the other party is not bringing charges and you have not bring charges, but you're the one that made the call, you have a suit, brother. Because how could they bring charges against you when you're the one that made the call? The other party never made the call, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
All right. And you may have to do a freedom information requesting the transcript calls. You may have to do that. I'm going to have to assist you. You know, just write my number down, 347-626-1357, and I'm going to have to assist you, brother, because they're making us a victim because they know that it's all about money, brother. It's about securing their funds to send their children to school, to their colleges, and also for their retirement. This is all about, brother. It's about funding.
I really, really appreciate that, brother. Could you say that number one more time?
Yes,
Your number?
Four, yes, 347-626-1357. That's 347-626-1357. Back to you, Brother Tahaka.
All right. Well, brother, I certainly appreciate you coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, we got 11 minutes. I want to say something. I want the Moors to be aware of. When you call, if you're in your house and you look at your house and you see somebody breaking in somewhere, and you call 911, the first thing that 911 is going to do is we need to deal with you, because all crimes are crimes in commerce.
That's true.
So when you call in, the first thing we want to do, we need your name, we need your address, and all of that, because we don't care nothing about what's happening, but first we got to get the money straight. Now, when the officer arrives, I'm sorry, I got to stop using that word. When the policeman arrives, the first thing he's got to do, he's going to listen to you, but before he leaves, he's going to verify your name and all of that. He's going to get on his computer, he's going to go typing it in and all that, because if he don't see nobody and they can't get there quick enough to stop the crime, and even if they do, we still going to have to deal with you, because it's all about getting paid. Now, if you call the police, you got to catch us for your arrest. Well, even though we didn't catch criminals, but we got to get paid. So what we going to do is say, well, our buddy, he already called his backup, and you think he's dealing with the crime because you're trying to do something right. You're trying to protect your neighborhood. But what they're there for is to get paid. We're going to deal with that tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, Brother Kamiti Ube, what we got left? We got 9 minutes and 32 seconds.
Yes.
What do you think? On the tail end of what we just started off discussing about these driver's license. What we got left on that?
Well, Noble, again, you know, I'm studying to be able to liquidate these funds off these birth certificates, off these driver's license, the marriage license, the birth certificates. I'm studying that with due diligence. I know people are going to be calling me saying, you know, brother, well, how can I get the funds, you know, it's going to take time, brother. This is not easy stuff, all right? The same thing with your mortgages, even if you lost your house in a foreclosure, all right? Oh, and by the way,
yeah,
the title to your car, all right? The word car is an acronym. It's a financial word, all right?
Okay.
It's a conveyance. It's a conveyance of finance. The word car is an acronym of a conveyance of finance, and it means certificate automobile receivable. I have a case right now in federal court, Brother Tahaka. All right. Where this particular brother brought a brand new Maxima. All right. And I came in contact with the prospectus. They're selling his car note at the par value of $25,000 per note. They took his note, put it into these trenches, which means they fractionalized the note. And he's selling it by 1,000 increments of 1,000, I should say, times the freight value, which is 25,000, all right? And so what I'm saying is that they have generated monies off his account. They took his deposit, $100 of his deposit, and put it into this particular vehicle accounts receivable. And they're generating monies by selling it to investors. And we got the QSUP number on that also, all right? And so one thing we need is a securitization audit so we can put that in as an admission into the federal court so we can show the court that they're generating monies, they're making monies, they're double-dipping, all right, and that the car is what? Paid for, and that they owe this brother money, all right? So we want to have this title free and clear, plus the oldest brother money. So that's what I'm working on. All right, Brother Tahaka. So it's not just a driver license. If you own a car, the certificate of title, the QSUP number can be done on the certificate of title also to see what is being generated on that title. We don't even care if it's a used car, right, brand new car, or car that you might have no more. But if you can get your hands on the title and get a copy of that, those instruments are all money that belongs to you because you can show the account of ownership. All right, Brother Tahaka, just like the driver license. All right, so we're not going to just surrender the license just as is. If we do, we're going to have to make sure you make copies of it and begin to start looking into those funds that belong to our people at large, because once we start tapping into those funds, because they're making money well for us, we have to go get our monies that these accounts are assigned to us, Brother Tahaka. And that's something that we have to put out there to our brothers and sisters who are listening. Again, this is new. No one is talking about this. Nobody's looking into this. All right? I know it's different. I know it sounds like you're Japanese, but we're going to be having classes on this. We're going to have live video stream classes on this, Brother Tahaka, so I can break down the process on the board so people can see this stuff, and then I can show documents where they can see exactly – the references and the information of the breakthroughs that I'm putting out, Brother Tahaka.
Okay. I certainly appreciate you for dropping that science, man. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of the broadcast. I see we got a couple of callers with their hands raised, but we do not have enough time. I need you all to tune in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time so we can continue bringing this informative information out. The brother has left his telephone number on the show, and so you all can re-listen to the broadcast and make sure when you do you have your pencil and paper handy so you can write this stuff down. In order to access my archives, you go to www.tahakaarchives.com. That's TaraHakaArchives. I think I spelled that right. But anyway, that's what you do. ARCHIVES. But send for your free articles, the 14th Amendment exposed in the commerce game, and we get that to you. That way, you will know, have a basic outline of what's going on. Now, I need you all to send me your Facebook requests, friend requests, send that to me, because I put some tremendous amount of information down. And what we do now is right there, we're dropping bios of all of the people that have gone before you that a lot of our young people don't even know about. But you'll be able to see that and understand who they were, and I guarantee you, your parents can back that up. And I had a brother the other night. We put the bio on Flip Wilson down there. And a lot of young people didn't know who he was, but then I'm pretty sure that the parents let him have it on that. But we're going to have to leave now. And, brother, what I want you to do is I want you to dial in tomorrow and check out what we're doing tomorrow night with Professor Phillip, because we're finna take this thing to a whole new paradigm, maybe a whole new universe. And I certainly appreciate you being in, and I'm going to talk to you all tomorrow. I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and you all have a good night.